You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
No one is going to dispute the fact that the Angels are having a very disappointing season, but there was one very fun night that we're going to talk about right now. I am Allison Fetter. I'm here with Alden Gonzalez. Alden, okay, 21-2 win over the Boston Red Sox in Boston. I don't even know where to start with that. I guess when in the really, really big innings when this was going on, like what were you thinking? Like they were scoring a season's worth of runs in one game?
Allison, you have to understand, I've been following this team all year, and it's been a miserable season so far. Yeah. And there hasn't been much to get excited about if you're an Angels fan, aside from every time Mike Trout comes to bat or any time a ball is hit in the general vicinity of Andrelton Simmons. So, I mean, a night like Saturday was just kind of the last thing that you foresaw with this team. But, you know, I think it was, I think I can identify the moment when I was like, what is going on here? And it was probably when Carlos Perez, who doesn't hit the ball hard very often, smoked a ball not only over the Green Monster in Fenway Park, but he kind of hit the advertisement that sits well beyond the Fenway Park seats. It kind of bounced off it. Carlos Perez. And at that moment, I was like, what is this? They scored 11 runs in the seventh inning. They scored 21 runs for the game. And look, I mean, people always talk about, oh, will it carry over? Can they build off of this? That doesn't really exist in baseball. They lost the next day 10-5, and then they lost again on Monday in Tropicana Field. But as you mentioned, for a team that had so many things go wrong this year, you know, it's nice for them to just have a night like that when it was just fun.
Yeah, I mean, they were already ahead by a lot. So 5, 6, 7, 8. So they were up like 9-1. Before they exploded with that 11-run seventh. Even Mike Scioscia, who's, not exactly the most emotional guy that I've ever come in contact with in baseball, he even said, like, well, yes, that was very fun, which was about as far as he was going to take it. And like you said, I mean, there is no momentum in baseball. Your moment, it's an old cliche, but you're only as good as your next day starting pitcher. That will always be the case. But it was nice to see that the guys were having some fun with this, including my favorite guy, Hector Santiago, who apparently had a good luck charm of some sort on his spike. So tell us about that.
Allison, I knew you were going to take it in this direction, so I just tried to pave the way for you here. Hector is, as you know, he's a character. He's one of the more interesting guys in that clubhouse, one of the more congenial guys in that clubhouse. He does some wacky things from time to time. He'll, you know, sometimes shave his head in a weird manner or get all sorts of tattoos all over his body, or sometimes he'll just spray paint. He'll airbrush his cleats. And, you know, he did it for the 4th of July. And, you know, a couple of weeks earlier, I want to say sometime around mid-June when the Angels were really struggling, he thought, man, you know, I got to do something to, you know, kind of break up the monotony in here. I got to bring some good luck to the Angels. And, you know, his mind works in very interesting ways. He's got a buddy in Jersey, back where he lives, who kind of does this. He airbrushes cleats. So he kind of sent him his New Balance cleats, and he had him airbrush the Rally Monkey on his left shoe, on the inside of his left shoe. And I don't know if you saw the picture, but I posted it on Twitter that night, and it looks actually really good. They did a really good job. And, you know, as fate would have it, those cleats were done, and they were delivered to Hector Santiago's hotel the morning before his Saturday start, and he pitched with them, and he sat in the dugout with those shoes on while the Angels scored 11 runs in the seventh inning. And, you know, it was actually pretty funny. He shared a conversation with us that he had. He was sitting in one of the top benches with Jolys Chacin and Daniel Nava, and, you know, at one point, you know, when they were going crazy, he told them not to move. But then at another point, he kind of turned to Daniel Nava, and he's like, check this out, man. He lifted up his pant leg, and he showed him the Rally Monkey. And then I think it all made sense to everybody, Allison, why they were scoring 21 runs. They had a Rally Monkey in their cleat, Allison. I mean, that explains everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think that is the Rally Monkey still on his cleat is what I want to know.
He still has them. I think he's going to pitch with them again. For some weird reason, that Rally Monkey did not work on Sunday or Monday, but maybe it's the kind of thing that only works when he pitches. And you know what? We'll find out on Thursday, right?
Absolutely. I can't wait to, I really cannot wait to see the outcome of that.
The question is, what else will he airbrush on his cleats when the rally monkey no longer works? I feel like this is a thing he's just going to keep doing.
Yeah, well, maybe it'll be like the Rally Socia or something, you know, like an offshoot
That'd be
of
great.
The Rally Monkey. Yes. Oh, I
that
hear.
Would be nice.
Okay, so I want to ask you three questions about the crowd-related questions. So in most cities, I mean, the Red Sox are unique in that they fill the ballpark every night, whether they're having a good season or the bad season. People come out to cheer them, come out to boom when they're not doing well, but they're very, very passionate. So I would like to know a few things. What was the crowd's reaction during the seventh inning when those 11 runs were being scored? Was it just like constant angst? Was there booing? Was there indifference? Like, what was happening? Do you remember?
I want to say it was mostly sarcasm. Okay. They kind of, they were already out of it. And I think they were already kind of, you know, they kind of let go of the outcome of that game when that seventh inning began. And it just became really sarcastic. It actually was, I felt kind of bad for the guy who was pitching. I think it was Pat Light. Who had a really brutal inning, and there was somebody else who came in relief that inning too. But anytime they threw a strike or they got a routine out, there was like this boisterous, loud applause. So it's kind of funny. They were just being sarcastic with it. And then, yeah, there were the boos when they came off the field, really, really loud boos. But for the most part, I think Boston was very sarcastic that night.
So what, did people get up to leave? Like, was there sort of a mass move to the exits when things really got out of hand, or were people still kind of staying in their seats? I'm just curious because in a lot of these other cities where, you know, maybe there's not as much passion, maybe the fan bases are a little more modest, you know, as soon as, like, the opposing team scores, like, five runs even, like, late, and boom, everyone leaves. What was is that the case at Fenway?
No, not really. I was actually surprised. It was still kind of a good crowd. I want to say like maybe half the stadium was still there. And I think that's still a lot when your team is 21-2. But I think there was just sort of, I think it manifested itself from frustration to sort of just general intrigue because at one point it was getting way out of hand and the Angels were kind of making a historic kind of run. I mean, I think there was a point where maybe people were thinking about leaving, but then they thought, wow, let me see this play out because they have scored 8 runs, 9 runs, 10 runs in the seventh inning, and let's see how many times they could score. I think maybe for a little while they stopped rooting for the Red Sox and they wanted to see just how many runs the opposing team can put up.
Okay, so that leads me to my next question. Okay, so now let's go back to the seventh. So the end of at the middle of the seventh is now 20-1. And then the Red Sox score a run in the bottom of the seventh. I am guessing that there was an extremely sarcastic standing ovation when that run came across the board. Am I right on that?
It was the loudest cheer of the night, Allison.
I would imagine so. Okay. So, like standing ovation and, like, people just, you know, really yelling.
It was like they won the World Series.
Okay, thank you. You gave me the answers I wanted to hear for all three of those. Because I'm like fascinated by, you know, when it comes to like the really, really traditional, old school, passionate fan bases. And really, there's not that many of them in this country. So it was kind of cool that it happened that way.
Allison, okay. I just like pandering to my podcast host. That's what I do.
I appreciate you playing along. Okay, so a couple, like, just ticky-tacky things here. C.J. Wilson, shoulder surgery. You speculated this is probably it for him as an Angel, obviously. His contract is up, right, at the end of the season, and he's not going to be ready to go for a while, so that's probably it for C.J.
Yeah, I think there's just kind of an understanding, not that maybe they wouldn't admit it publicly, but just kind of an understanding that maybe C.J. has kind of worn out his welcome here. I think maybe along the way he might have rubbed some people the wrong way, and along the way I think he might have been angry by some of the things that they might have done. But he's not pitching this season. He's going to have surgery as soon as Dr. Neil Tretch clears up his schedule. He told me that the recovery process for this is 3 to 4 months, and he told me that he plans to pitch next season. And he's going to be going – I mean, look, he hasn't pitched since the end of July of last season, but he's still got a pretty good track record, and he's going into a free agent market that doesn't have much starting pitching talent. So although he's not going to command huge money, I think there are going to be teams that are going to give him a shot to be a starting pitcher for them on a major league contract. I don't expect it to be the Angels, even though they are going to have needs, especially with Andrew Heaney and potentially Garrett Richards not pitching next season. I feel like he's going to be moving on to somebody else.
Okay. Interesting stuff. Well, thank you, Alvin. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate you enlightening us with the Night in Boston. And we will catch up with you after the break. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alvin. Take care.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.